listening to me. And I was feeling inspired, I'll tell you for sure. You know you feel inspired when you talk to people about the Lord. You feel inspired. That's your Holy Ghost working. So anyway, I said yes. I said, we was on our way to Memphis, and I said, the Lord works peculiar ways. I said, never had we ever just decided we'd eat a sandwich before we left, because they always served a meal over there. We got a sandwich on the way over. But I said, for some reason or other, I said, I had some good tomatoes in the garden, and I like corn dogs, so I just fixed us a good corn dog, and we had some ripe tomatoes, really enjoying it. And I said, all at once, I began to feel sick and all. And I said, of course, I didn't tell the whole story. I just hit the high places. But I said, it hit me. I said, I felt like someone hit me in the back of the head with their fist. And in fact, when I fell the other day and hit the concrete with my head, it felt just like it did the day that I had the aneurysm. I mean, tell you, my mind went crazy. It just went crazy. And so I began to tell him, and I said, I went to the hospital, and they put some stents in a vein in my leg, down close to my knee, and that went on up to my brain, and that's how they stopped the blood. And he didn't know what to think. He just stood there and just looked at me. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, I said, I don't know how you believe or what you believe, but I said, an angel visited my bedside. He said, oh, it did. Yes. And I said, I wanted to make sure that was real. And so, because I said, I had been out, and I just come to myself, and my mind was just as clear as it could be. And I said, I felt someone staring at me. He said, yes, I know. Said, you know, you can feel people staring at you, can't you? See, he was chiming right in with my conversation. And I said, yes, you sure can. I said, it was so strong that I looked all around to see, and I couldn't see nobody. And I was in a critical care unit, and I didn't see anyone. But this angel stood by my bed. I said, I know what I'm talking about. He said, I believe you. I believe you. And so I said, I thought, well, I'm going to turn over, and I'm going to check this out. And if it's there when I look back, well, I'll know that's real. And I said, I did that, and I turned back, and I said, it was there. And I said, the Spirit of the Lord come all over me from my head to my foot. He said, I can feel it, and you telling me about it. I thought, that's what I want you to feel. So anyway, I began to tell him, and the more I told him, he just acted like that. He didn't care when no customers come in or not, and I was hoping they wouldn't, so I could really work on him, because I was feeling something from that man. And so anyway, I began to keep on talking and all, and I told him how a voice said to me, said, you felt like that someone was staring at me, said, that was your guardian angel. And I said, brother, that was not. I didn't say brother. I almost did, because I say brother so much to you folks. But anyway, I said yes. I said that voice said that to me, and he said, well, did he say anything else? I said, sure did. I said, he said, everything's going to be all right. And he said, that is wonderful. He said, that is a wonderful testimony. I said, brother, here I go again. I said, it's real. And so he said, well, said, I can sure feel it. So anyway, customers began to come in, and I knew I was going to have to hush then. And anyway, we told him we had to leave. Well, we got our parcel that we was buying, and we was starting to leave. And he said, hey, you folks, said, I want y'all to come back. He said, I don't care whether you buy a thing or not. Said, I want y'all to come back. Said, I want to talk to you folks. And I thought, well, we'll be back. So we're going to wait till this week sometime when they don't have no customers and everything's slow, and we're going to go back, and I'm going to talk to him some more, I'm telling you. And you know, I felt so good about that man. It, just something about him that I felt that he was hungry. And so whenever he gave us our deal that we bought, well, I said, oh, now what is your name? And he said, oh, I put my card in there. He wanted us to remember him. He said, I put my card in there. And I don't think he's wanting us to come back and just buy something from him, because, well, we could buy it anyway. But anyway, we went on out. And so that night, last night, when I prayed, I just felt something from that man. And I felt that he was hungry, that he wanted to find out more about us, because we was different people than most usually that he that sees, you know. And I feel that he felt something from us. So anyway, last night when I prayed, I knelt down in my chair and I got that card that he gave me, and I laid it down that chair and I put my hand on that card and I prayed. I said, Lord, if that man is hungry and he wants God, you help us that we can go back. And of course, we're definitely going to go back, and we're going to go back to see him, because he said, whether you buy anything or not, I said, I want you folks to come back. I said, I want to talk to you some more. So anyway, y'all help me to pray that we can. And of course, I mean, tell you, I just feel all fired up. I mean, I really feel the Lord for that man. And he was a nice man, very gentlemanlike, and he was just really nice and all. So it might not turn out to be anything, but what I feel right now sure does feel good. So at least I got a good feeling out of it. But anyway, it thrills me to talk to people about the Lord. I don't mind at all. I don't mind talking to them, and of course I don't try to preach to them. I don't answer no questions. I just say, well, you come to church, we got a minister that'll answer your questions. That's the way I tell them. I don't try to tell them all about the Bible, what we believe, what we don't believe, and what'll happen to you if you don't believe what we do and all like that. I just don't tell it, because that's not the way we do things around here. Because you know, if you keep them in suspense, well, if you tell them everything, then they know something about you, and then they can go home and think, well, I don't know whether I want that or not. Because when we found this people, somebody talked to me, and they told me some things, and I chewed on them for a while, and I thought, well, I don't know about that, and I just don't know. It was some pretty stout stuff, you know. But anyway, I thought, well, we just don't tell people everything. And when they come, we usually, the ministers usually, they tread softly and lead them in a way that they know not. And because this is a gospel that is different than the religious world has. Of course, we're getting so used to it until we don't really pay a lot of attention. But listen, this is a different gospel, because Jesus taught in the day that he lived. And people didn't like it. They turned and went a different way. And some of them said, well, where else can we go? So that's the way we feel. We know that this is the real thing. Where can we go? We can't find eternal life anywhere else. But so God has given us a chance. So tonight, I really appreciate the Lord. And I thought, you know, I'm getting older, and I don't get out a whole lot, but I thought, when I can, I'm going to do my best to get somebody to come to church and get them to enjoy. Not to just to add a number. I wouldn't walk across the street just to add a number to this church, Brother Smith, just to add a number. We're not here for numbers. We're here to save souls. Of course, naturally, you know, we want all to come that will come. But the thing about it, that is not our motive, just to get a church full of people, just to have a church full of people. But we're wanting souls. We're wanting to help people to enjoy the things that we're enjoying. And so I'm so thankful. I'm just so tickled over this gospel, because it is real. And to know that we're in something that we can depend on, that we know that we can have eternal life. So tonight, I really am thankful for what the Lord is doing for us. And so I hope that we can get more people to come and to see this wonderful way. And another thing that happened peculiar to me this week, my phone rang, and I answered the phone, and it was the wrong number. But it was a black lady, and she was very nice. In fact, Sister Tally, she sounded exactly like your mother. Of course, it wasn't her, but she sounded just like Sister Tally's mother. And so she said, I said, well, I believe you have the wrong number. But she just kept on talking and just kept on talking. I thought, well, honey, if you won't talk, I'll just talk with you. So we just began to talk, and I said, now, it's some bad weather out there. I said, you be careful. Don't you be fall down. She said, oh, honey, I won't. And she just kept going and kept going. So I just went along with her and just talked, and I said, well, now, what is your name? And she said, Williams. Said, I'm Miss Williams. I said, well, Miss Williams, I'm so glad to talk with you. I'm so glad that you called. And I said, I've enjoyed talking with you. She said, oh, honey, I've enjoyed talking with you. And so I said, where do you live? She said, over Twin Lakes. And I said, Twin Lakes? And, of course, I knew this right out here close. And I said, well, you're close to our church. And I said, I'd like to invite you at our church sometime. She said, well, said, I don't know. Said, I just turned 93 or 83. 83. I said, well, that's okay. I said, I just turned 85. I'm just a little bit ahead of you. I said, come on. So she said, I said, just come on and visit our church. I said, we've got some wonderful black people in our church. We just have a ball. And she said, well, it sure sounds good. I said, I'd just like to do that. I said, you just, she said, I'll get someone to bring. I said, you do that. I said, you gather your friends up and you come on. I said, we'll just have a time. So I don't know, Brother Smith, what's going to happen. Lord might just bring a whole bunch of them in here sometime. But anyway, well, like one time, Brother Tucker, he was wanting us to ask people to come to church. So we had, in fact, I used to work with some girls that lived, well, it's several miles up in the mountains here. And so I invited them to church from time. And so I told Brother Tucker, I said, now, Brother Tucker, next Saturday night, we got a bunch of people that's coming. And he said, oh, Sister Crow, a bunch? I said, yes, a bunch. And so anyway, he said, well, we'll see. I said, okay, we'll see. Because he was much to tease and all. And so Saturday night, a great big long bus drove up on the parking lot. I mean, it was a long old bus, school bus. And it was full of Pentecost people. They was one of those Pentecost people. And so here they come. I mean, it was big ones, little ones, tall ones, fat ones, and all. It was like you thought that Noah's Ark had just emptied out in here. So they come in, and I told Brother Tucker, I said, mm-hmm, you see what I did, don't you? He said, Sister Crow, I'll have to say that you did it and all. But those people come, and you know they come for several times, and they fellowship with us. And you know, you just thought they was one of us. We just had the best time and all. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not from Texas, but I do big things when I do it. You know, I just teased him real good, because Brother Tucker was really a person to tease, you know, and all. And so I just really, really just shot it back at him and all. So. But anyway, he said, well, I'll have to say that you really done a good job. And so, but anyway, of course, I don't know about this other deal. Well, we'll have a bus load. But anyway, I strode some seed out there, so I just hope it'll come up. So I'm going to continue to do that. So maybe the Lord will add to us this year. And as I say, not for a number, but that the Lord will talk to his people. And I know that this is a time that God is gathering his people. And so I would like for them to enjoy what we are. And the way I do when I talk to someone, well, you know, they always say, you're supposed to act thrilled if you have a long face and all, which, I mean, I know I'm not really a person that has a smiley face, but I'm smiling inside. I was born with kind of a sour face, but I'm really a sweet person inside. Y'all know that. But anyway, I thought, well, Lord, I'd like to help somebody to come in this year and enjoy this wonderful way that we're enjoying. And so, but that's our way we're supposed to do, is to invite people to come in and to enjoy the things of God. So I'm just happy that, well, like I was saying, I started to say that when I tell people about our church, I just tell them all the good things. I just tell them that we really have a good bunch of people, friendly, and we have just have good times together, and we love all of God's people. And of course, that sounds good to them and all. And so I just I'm not telling them no story. I'm telling the truth, you know, that y'all just come on. We'll have a big time. And I'll be like, hey, that sounds good, you know. So anyway, God is good to us, and so I'd like to see some new faces in here, because it's inspirational to us. You know, we can have some new people come in, and it inspires you. Brother Tally, you know, it makes you feel better, talk better, don't it? Yeah, to get some good people in here. So anyway, God is so good, and I've appreciated this day, and thanks again for the good message, because I was glad that I got my question answered.
Well, is it on? Yeah, I guess it is on. All right. I know this sounds a little bit, maybe not exactly on the subject, but I was asking God for something to at least help me out on my Bible reading, and I was reading, and I was actually watching a movie, Facing the Giants, when this happened, and it's actually a Christian movie, and it said at the end, Matthew 9:26. Could y'all please put it up there? Sorry about that. I got a little confused. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible. With God all things are possible. I mean, that just clicked in my head. I don't know why, but it just did. Anyway, I just thought that would be a little nugget for y'all. And hopefully it helped somebody out. But with God, all things are possible. Even though some people, like Sister Crow's case, for example, they said most people died with aneurysms on the brain. Well, she didn't. So with God, all things are possible. And I guess that's a nugget for y'all.
Here's the setting for that scripture. The 23rd verse says, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This church is old enough to know this, but I'm going to remind you. Right here is where a service can go. It can go awry. A service can go off from the Spirit of God and lose its place if we sit too long. You know, in other words, we ought to be sensitive enough to know somebody needs to do something, and you know, I'm willing to offer a sacrifice and see if God, you know, if I'm feeling a little bit of something or if I'm feeling like something needs done. Well, maybe you girls will hit it. And if you don't, at least you try it.
Thank you. storms have all passed over, where do I run to? When the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In the time of tribulation, when my soul needs a consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go? When there's no one else to turn to, who do I talk to? When no one wants to listen, who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to a rock. I know he's able, I go to. Rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide? Till the storms have all passed over, where do I run to? When the winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In the time of tribulation, when my soul needs a consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountains, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on? Stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Thank you, Lord. Very
And now, if you've heard this poem before, let me know. It's called I Refuse to Be Discouraged. And I got this because I have a neighbor, and she's got some grandchildren and children who's not living for the Lord, and it really bothers her quite a bit. And so I thought, well, I wanted to give her this poem because I thought it would be something that would really help her. But then the more I look at it, the more I realize that, you know, it's something that can help all of us. But anyway, I don't know if you've heard it, but this is called I Refuse to Be Discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad or to cry. I refuse to be downhearted, and here's the reason why. I have a God who is mighty, who's sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me, and I am on his team. He is all-wise and powerful. Jesus is his name. Though everything is changeable, my God remains the same. My God knows all that's happening, beginning to the end. His presence is my comfort. He is my dearest friend. When sickness comes to weaken me, to bring my head down low, I call upon my mighty God. Into his arms I go. When circumstances threaten to rob me of my peace, he draws me close unto his breast where all my striving cease. And when my heart melts within me, my life is in his hand. The Son of God is my hope. In his strength I stand. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trod. I'm looking past all my circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers have reached the heart of God. I'm resting in his love. I give God thanks in everything. My eyes are on his face. The battle is his. The victory is mine. He's helping me win the race. And I thank the Lord tonight, because I don't know where I'd be, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord. Sometimes I get more than slightly discouraged when I look at my family, you know, who is raised in church, who knows the right way to God to go, and then the grandchildren who, you know, I think if my daughters would do what they know is right, then maybe my grandchildren, you know, would follow too. But you know, I think when I look at them, I get hope in the fact that I look at what I was when I was their age. When I was 18, 19 years old, I was wild and crazy, looking for something I didn't know what. And I think, well, there was hope for me. I know what God has done for me, and I know that he can do for them. He can do the same. So I try, you know, to, you know, trust God more and have more faith, you know, that even though things don't look like they're turning out right just now, then I know God is able, and I'm trusting him to save all my family. I've got a number of brothers and sisters, but, you know, and even with a large family, I'm trusting God to save all of them and get them all in, because I know that nothing is impossible for God, like you said. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have this hope in God, and that we know what he can do. And I want to tell all of you all how dear you are to me and how much I love you all.
Girls know how much I appreciate that song, Sister Brittany and Sister Rachel. I enjoyed that. It brought several word pictures to my mind, but first of all, I was thinking, just standing there, the words to that song always bring back some difficult years for me, probably around your age, Rachel, or somewhere in there in my early 20s. I was searching. I was trying to find, you know, what God had for my life and where I was going to go and what I was going to do and, you know, what plan he had for me. And many times I felt like there was nobody to talk to. And many times I felt like I didn't know where to go and who to lean on, what to lean on. And I went to the rock. I learned, and I'm thankful that I was taught that, and I'm thankful that those seeds were planted, you know, that many times I just drove around town in my car and just talked to God and, you know, just whatever. I mean, I complained, I whined, you know, and then I think a few times I remember to thank him when things were going good, you know, but I did. I learned to go to the rock, and I thought, if not, you know, for young people, to see young people singing that song and getting that message in their heart, I know I need to be reminded of it now, but I know it's those years when our young people, when they start searching and trying to find their own salvation, find their own beliefs, and not lean on mom and daddy's anymore, and all that, and to learn and to get that planted then, that there is someone you can go to. There is a rock that you can lean on, and he does not let you down. He is there. So many times other things get in the way, and we want to blame God, and, you know, that, you know, for not making something work out right or whatever, but he is there. And when we get ready to turn back to him, every time he has been there, and I'm thankful for that. I had kind of a word picture when they were singing that, and I was thinking that, you know, we have an old Nintendo game. Here I go with my Nintendo. I've given a few Nintendo object lessons before. But there's an old game called Quest 64, if anyone happens to know that game. Little guy going through his, you know, little town fighting monsters and everything, and he's getting, you know, you earn these points and get spells that you can throw to defeat the monsters and all that stuff, you know. I really liked that game a few years ago, and then it went out and we moved on to other things, and the kids bought an old copy of that game and got it in this week and started playing it again. And I was watching that, and there's these spells you throw, you know, you have your wind spells and your fire spells and all that stuff. Anyway, and this one they throw, and it's like a big rock or boulder will fall down, you know, and hit the guy. And I was thinking, you know, of having that on your side. You're talking about having the rock, you know. I thought of, if you're facing somebody and this thing come up behind you, you know, I can just see the enemy going, hey, okay, you know. And then I thought of, it also kind of sounds to me like a, I don't watch World of Wrestling, okay, I never have, but I know they have all these wrestlers and their names and everything, you know, and the rock, you know, here comes the rock in, and I can just imagine trying to stand and fight an enemy, and this, you know, big, the rock comes standing up behind me and lets everybody know he's on my side, you know, and they're, you know, they're going to run. I kind of, the pictures like that, but I thought that's really kind of like it is. If people could really see, well, what's that scripture about, you know, you put 10,000 to flight, or, you know, if people really knew who was on my side. Young people, if all these people out here, this world out here, really knew who was on your side, if they really knew, if you'll ally yourself with him, you have got a formidable foe, undefeatable, and he's on your side. He is on your side. You can go to the rock, and he is there for you. He's on your side, and I'm just thankful to be reminded of that. I'm needing reminded of it, Brother Smith. I'm trying to make some changes in my life. I'm trying to yield my life more completely to him. As you were talking today, you know, I sit there and I preach to myself. I sit in here at church and I'll tell myself, I've got to do this. You know, there was a time when I gave more time of my day at home, not Sunday, but my days at home, my weekdays, I gave more time to Him, reading my Bible and praying. And there's been other things that have gotten in the way and crowded some of that out. And I can tell a difference. I can tell a big difference. I don't feel that same closeness and walk with Him. I miss that. And I'm asking God to help me to bring that back into my life. I need that. I need that. Just going about my own walk, I need it to live before my children and to be what my husband needs, to help him and be his helpmeet. But I need it for me. I need it for me to feel like my life is worth something. I have enough of a vision to know that there's nothing. There's nothing in this material world that is gonna matter. I can enjoy all the gadgets and things that we all do. I love new clothes. I love new shoes. I love new technology, gadgets and stuff. I love all that. That's fun. But deep down, I know what really matters to me, and it's that rock. It's knowing that He's there for me and knowing that He's close and that I'm close enough to Him that when I need Him, I can reach out and grab His hand and He's there for me and that I don't wander too far away. So I'm just thankful and appreciative for being here.
Thankful for this rock that the song that the girls sang. Sure appreciate that. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. I came here when I was young. I'm not going to say how young. We got some adders people. I just don't like telling my age. Some people don't like for me not like telling my age, but I don't. But anyway. Anyway, I came when I was young, and the Lord dealt with me to come this way. I used to go to church with my grandma, and I just loved to go to church with my grandma. She was a Pentecostal lady, and I just loved going to church with her. She went to, and she would go, and they would sing and play the tambourine. I just loved to watch them play the tambourine. The floor was a hardwood floor, and they would stomp their feet, and dust would fly, but I would just love it. I just enjoy it. I didn't know what it was I was enjoying, but it was the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't know that at the time. So when I got older, I thought, well, I want to go to a church just like my grandma's church, just like my grandma. And I just was out there doing whatever the world was doing because I was a part of the world. But when the Lord started dealing with me, it was through Sister Tally, 1978. Well, actually, before that, because she used to bring Anthony, my son, to church, to school. She talked me into putting him in the school here, probably in hopes to win me, but I didn't know that then. But anyway, she started bringing him to school, and on one September day, she was going to bring both of them, her son and my son, to school. But God had other plans. God knew what He was doing. But it was on one September rainy day. I'll never forget it. And I know she won't either, neither Brother Tally. But that particular morning, I tried to get my child to her. I would take him to her house every morning, and she would bring him to school. Drop JG off at his little daycare right down the street, bring Anthony to school because she worked here. But on this particular morning, I couldn't get to her house. It seemed it was raining so hard, pouring down, and I couldn't get to her. So I had to go home and wait. Well, maybe I should take him myself. Then one mind said, no, you just stay home with them. And that's what I did. I stayed home. And later on that night, she called me and told me that it was a good thing that I didn't get him to her because her son had drowned. And I knew if she couldn't save her son, she definitely couldn't have saved mine. And through that, the Lord started dealing with my heart. And I mean, he talked to my heart. He didn't talk to me audibly, but he talked to my heart. He said, I could have taken him, but I didn't. And he said, I could have even taken both of you because you could have brought him to school. He said, but I didn't. And I thought, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I know you want me to turn my life over to you. So I started coming to church. And I started listening. And the Lord started dealing with me, started talking to my heart. And everybody have to go through this. Just like Brother Tally was saying this morning, you have to choose your own oil. You can't go by anybody else's choice. You have to make your own choices. And so I thought, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter who does or who doesn't. I had friends, and I thought, well, what would so-and-so think? And I thought, forget what so-and-so thinks. This is my life. I have to live this. I have to answer to him. And so I started coming to church, and I started listening, and lo and behold, I started hearing things, and my heart would just, I can't explain it. But I was seeing things. Things just started opening up to me. Even at midnight, it seemed like day. It seemed like noonday. It was so bright. And I thought, Lord, this is wonderful. This life is wonderful, Lord. I want more of it. More of you, Lord. More of you. And so I thought, I need to apply myself more. And the more I applied myself, the more that the Lord would come in and show me how great he really is. You know, and as time went on, still seeking God in my life, and he's still being real to me. You know, but last year was one of the hardest years of my life. I mean, it was so hard. It was like I was just crushed. But you know what? Through it all, the Lord has shown himself real to me. He said, I'll be your friend. I'll stick close to you. You won't have to need anything. And so the Lord has really shown himself real to me. You know, I could just think on that. He didn't take my son then. He knew when he was going to take him. He took him last year, March the 7th, will mark 1 year that he's been gone. But you know, I can dwell on that. I could dwell on that to where I'm sick, but he has not let me to dwell on it to where I just can't, I guess, get overwhelmed with it. He has not allowed me to just mourn and cry and grieve over it. And I'm so thankful for that. He said, I'll be your friend. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. He has proven himself real to me. And he's saying, and he says that this is nothing. This is nothing. I can be more real to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And I believe him. I remember one day I was walking down the street. I was going to the post office. That's when the post office was right down the street from where I worked. And I was just walking down the street. I was just coming back from the post office. And you know, 6th Street right there, I work on 6th and Gaines. And right there, there's no stop sign there. The traffic is just zooming, you know, just one way. But it was zooming. And the thought hit me, I'll stop the traffic for you. And I thought, ooh, where'd that come from? Stop the traffic for me? And do you know when I got right there at the trying to come across to work, the traffic stopped. And there were people sitting on the benches at work. They said, oh, the traffic stopped for you? I said, oh, Lord, you embarrassed me. I thought, yeah, it did. But I heard that, I'll stop the traffic for you. And lo and behold, if this traffic didn't stop, I said, Lord, thank you. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Oh, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you know, there's been times in my life to where when the Lord does something for you, I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed because I've not measured up. I don't deserve it, is what I'm trying to say. But you know, the Lord, He's best to us when we don't deserve it. He shows us that I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to just love you when you're good. I'm going to love you when you don't deserve it. And I thought, Lord, I want to get to that place to where, what, like Brother Smith was saying today, that my life, the Lord would design my life. It would be designed of the Lord. Oh, God, I know that I don't deserve to be here, but I'm counted worthy. Thank you, Lord, for counting me worthy. I want to be found worthy one day. If I keep on going, if I keep trying to measure up, well, doing all that, and I know that you just can't, it's not this way, is you don't do and earn. It's not what you do, but it's by the grace and mercy of our God, our Creator, our Maker, so my soul won't rest until I see Him face to face. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. I praise Him. I'm thankful. You know, this is a good life. This is my life. I look forward to coming to church to meet Him, my love, my Maker. Hallelujah! Woo! You know, on my job, and you know, people watch you. They do. They watch you to see how you act in situations. And I know this. So on my job, I thought, well, I'm going to ask these ladies that I work with. Well, there's only two of us in the office where I am, me and Sandra, but there are four of us that work close together. So I thought, I asked them, well, do y'all want to read the Bible through this year? And they said, yeah. Yeah, we will. So I got copies of the Bible, and I thought, all right, I'll make them copies. So I did. I made copies for them. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask them if they're kind of heavy. They're bigger than me. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask them if they want to go on a little diet of some kind. I'm always thinking of something to. So I asked them, I said, well, y'all want to go on a little diet? And they said, yeah. So I designed a little diet for them. And so we started the little diet, and boy, they were excited. We told the manager about it, and she was excited. But we didn't ask her. We didn't ask the manager to do it. But she wanted us to ask her. I didn't ask her because I knew she wanted us to. But anyway, I hope she's not watching this song. But anyway, and so they started on this diet, and boy, they were excited over it. And I thought, well, I did it for 20 days. I told them, let's do this for 20 days. And they said, okay, we'll do it for 20 days. So there was, I said, well, y'all are so excited over this, I got something else for you. They said, okay. So I said, well, I'll take meat away from them and see how they like that. And so for 2 weeks, I told them, well, we're not going to eat any meat for 2 weeks. And one lady, boy, she can hardly do it. She can hardly do it. But she said, I'm going to stick with it. And what I told them was, when you violate this, you're going to have to give me $5. That's for the first violation. For the second violation, it's $10. And so it's been about 3 weeks now, and I haven't gotten any money. So I said, now, I don't see what you're doing. I said, but God sees you, and you're going to have to answer to Him because He sees everything. And so I think that they've been faithful over that. But anyway, I thought, Lord, now, if you can use me to get people to do that, well, you can use me to win somebody. You can use me, Lord, if I would
let you. So I think, Lord, help me. I need wisdom, Lord. I need wisdom to deal with these people, oh God. Help me, Lord. Help me to win somebody to you, Lord. Oh God, oh God. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the Lord brought me this way. I'm so thankful that Sister Tally took the time with me to tell me about this, to show me. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. You know, she didn't have to do that. But I'm so thankful that the Lord, through her, worked in my life. And I'm trying to shine my light that others can see, because I know it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it, oh God, to hear him say, well done, well done, well done, well done. Oh God, oh God, oh God. My creator, my maker, hallelujah. So I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He called on me, I'm in the city, I'm killing you. I'm not going to be here. Oh, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm so thankful to be here. So thankful.
Way, because he led me this way. And I was thinking of different testimonies today, this evening, and about how they found this group of people. Well, I was practically born in it, but that didn't keep me because I was young, and our church was closed. All the small churches in the northwest part of Arkansas was closed. And so I was a teenager, and I'd go to St. Louis and stay with Brother and Sister McConnell for a couple of weeks. But that still didn't keep me saved. I was still a teenager, and I didn't do much except just go to the world. But the Lord dealt with me, started dealing with me, because I had the Holy Ghost. But I didn't know what was keeping me, but the Lord was keeping me. My Holy Ghost did not go dormant. There was something still alive in me. And I'm thankful that the Lord showed me, had enough mercy to keep his hands on me to come this way. And when I say this way, it was to Little Rock. I could have gone to Tulsa because it was a lot closer to home. And I loved my mother and daddy. And we were friends. They were my parents, and I respected them and honored them. But the Lord dealt with me to come to Little Rock. And I was thinking also of the way he has dealt with me over all these years and everything. And everything that I've ever done is working out in the public. And that different ones was talking about inviting people to church and winning people. Well, I've always enjoyed trying to let my light shine when I am in the public area. And I've had bosses to be jealous of me and just really get mean with me. And I've told this story before, but one time when I was working at Regan's, I was the assistant manager, and my boss, she was jealous of me, and she really caused a lot of problems for me. And I, after about being there 5 years, she just couldn't really stand me because my son was in a Christian school and I wore dresses, and a lot of times I'd wear my hair up, and I was just different from the rest of those women that was in that store. And they called one of the main bosses. Our home office was out of Tyler, to come, and they interviewed everybody that worked at that store. And I knew something was up, and I felt my spirit in my soul that something was against me. And I called Sister Walker, Brother Bob Walker's wife, because she could really pray and touch heaven. And I said, Sister Walker, something's going wrong here at the store, and it's I feel like it's against me. I need prayer. Pray. Well, everybody had been taken upstairs to be interviewed, and when it came time for me to go up, I was the last one. And Mr. Galen didn't smoke, but he had a cigar in his case, briefcase. He pulled it out. He said, "I'm so nervous." He said, "Brenda, I came here to fire you." He said, "I came here to give you your severance pay and your vacation pay." And he said, "But something stopped me." And I knew exactly what stopped him. It was that prayer that Sister Walker took up to heaven for me, touched heaven for me. He said, "I don't know what it is," but he said, "Something stopped me." He said, "I could not find one person." I think there was about six women that worked there, because we had different shifts, different women at different shifts. And he said, "I couldn't find one that was against you." He said, "Not one bad word was against you." And I never caused anything. I never did preach on the job or anything. I just tried to live it for my best, for me. And so many wonderful things has happened in my life. And I was thinking, you know, that verse kept rolling over and over in my mind today. I am the way, the truth, and the light. And I was thinking of what you was talking about today. There's no other way, Brother Smith, but to be in service and to hear the ministers and hear the teachings. I do have to admit, though, I can't get it all at one time, because I get tired and I get sleepy. My sugar level drops, and I just can't conceive it that much, that quick, in an hour. You know, my mind gets tired. I'm going to have to probably get the CD to... or the DVD to listen to it again. But I just appreciate what I felt and have felt here today. And I do want to, I think, well, where else could we go if we didn't come here, if we didn't have the teachings to know that this was the way, the truth, and the light? There's no other place. Where could we go? We could just only go to the Lord. And I am so thankful that I do have enough knowledge to know that this is the way, the truth, and the light is here, serving the Lord. And I'm just so thankful, so blessed to be part of this.
I don't want to go away from here and not let God know how much I appreciate him touching my life and my family's life. Also, I know there's a verse in the Bible that says, "For thou hast mercy towards me and hast delivered me from the lowest hell." And so, I know Brother Smith had asked the question one time about how to get out of hell, and I think I found it. Asking God to have mercy on me ain't getting him to have mercy on me. So I thought, Lord, and I enjoyed that message today. Because I got to thinking, you know, God, I've been thinking I've been saved for a long time, and maybe I'm not. You know, I think, God, maybe I need to repent. And I thank God, you know, but really, Lord, help me. Help me to open my ears, touch my ears, you know, and open my heart that I can receive the good things of God. Because they are good. Everything I've heard today and last Sunday was just so precious. And I know I come up here yesterday and helped Brother Painter put in a plug in for him so he could plug in a TV in the back room back there in the women's in the nursery in the back in the bathroom there, and I forgot to bring my electrical pliers with me, and so he had a pair of them, and they were just exactly almost exactly like mine. They may have been the same brand or whatever. I was back there trying to cut and everything with them, and, And you know, it's just not the same. I couldn't hardly use that tool for nothing. You know, I was having a hard time twisting the wire and stuff. It just wasn't. I thought about that part where David said, "I haven't been proven in these, in this." You know, when he was going to fight Goliath. You know, I thought, you know, maybe that is right. A man has to come up with his own, his on way of serving God, and his own tools and his own method. But at the same time, let God work on his heart, you know, and because I can't take tools or a talent from let's say from Brother Smith or Brother Weiniger or from someone else and use it in my life, but I can listen to it and let it work in my life, but I can't do that same talent. I've got to let God work it out in my life and work out my own salvation. And I thought, because, you know, we can't give this to nobody. I thought, man, if I could just let someone feel what I feel about God, it seems like it would save the whole world. Because what I feel inside of me is so precious. And when that Holy Ghost touches my heart, it just seems like it's just so good. It goes beyond measure. And I thought, if I could just give it, how can I give it to somebody else that you see that really needs God? How can you do that? And I thought, well, you can't. That God has got to touch them. And I got to thinking, when God saved me, some way he reached down his hand down into my life and touched my life. And what was it that it touched my heart and drawed me to God? And I thought, Lord, of all the things in this earth, that's more precious than anything for God to touch your life. And so I appreciate that. I'm glad that he touched our hearts and our lives, and to let us have a desire to go to church. You know, I'm getting better. I got up this morning and run in there and took a shower and started getting dressed and shaving and getting ready to go to church this morning. And I know that there's times I'd rather been fishing, or I'd rather been doing something else. And those things are fun. Those things are okay in their time, but what I'm trying to say is, perhaps God is working on me. Perhaps he's putting something down inside of me that is sticking. You know, there's some stick'em there, they call it. And but what I really know is that what's given me a greater desire is that he has had mercy on me. He showed mercy to me. He showed mercy to me that times that, because he'll listen to me. I can be doing things. I've got, you know, there might be a project that I'm trying to be doing. You know, he's there, and he'll help you on even just little projects that you're making. He'll help you with those. He'll with things that you're doing in your life. You know, I know he wants to save you, but God helps you figure things out in just in normal life, everyday life. But I appreciate God, and I just wanted to stand up and let him know that I'm thankful that he has given me an opportunity to stand up. I was reading something on the internet here a few nights ago, and I got to thinking about, what is it that the Jews are not getting? You know, And I got to reading about it, and I thought, Lord, and so I found a place that was telling all about Jesuits, you know, and they, it said that they don't look at Christ as being the Messiah. They are waiting on a Messiah to come and physically be their king and know all the terrain and turn the world back to God without firing a shot, and to bring peace throughout the whole world. And I thought, they missed it somewhere. Somewhere they've got off track. Because if they felt what God has put in my heart, what little bit of I've felt that God is let me feel in my soul about what he's doing, if they only knew that, if they only could see that. And I thought, well, God will deal with them in their time, because he's dealing with us. And so help me, God, to listen to you, and help me to obey and be obedient, and be obedient to the ministry of, in this body, you know. I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to straighten up and fly right. Is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be better. You know, I kept thinking, you know, be ye therefore perfect, as I and my Father in heaven are perfect. And I thought, God, I can't even love my brother. You know, I can't even get. Sometimes I can't even get past that. Lord, I need help. You know, but when the Holy Ghost gets down in your heart and you're standing there speaking in tongues, everybody, you could kiss your enemy right on the lips and it wouldn't bother you one bit. You know, so that's where the love of God comes in, is through the sweet Holy Ghost. And so I appreciate God. And most of all, I appreciate the Spirit that he lets us feel. Because without that, I'm serious, I would be somewhere else if God didn't touch my heart. Because there's something in that Spirit that draws me back and wants to know more. And I know there's things about the Bible that fascinates me. But if I didn't feel the Spirit of God, I don't know what I would do. I think I was talking to Brother Durham here a few nights ago, and I thought, I guess maybe I'd make a good Buddhist, or make a good, you know, something. But, you know, I don't want to get off on that. I just want to say I'm glad God is touching me. Appreciate it.
Doug and Yvonne York was had got out of the army, and I was in the body, and of course I was their youth pastor out in religion. And when they got out, I got them in the body. Brother Jerry, of course, Brother Doug's brother, lived in Oklahoma. And evidently he saw something in his brother's life that really changed him. Because God started dealing with Brother Jerry, and God sent a tornado. He was building a house, isn't that right? God sent a tornado and blowed his house away. And he felt like, he blew his house away twice. The second time he finally got it. But he also was sick, and he went to the hospital. He thought he was dying, and he was laying in the hospital, and the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he said God was talking to his heart, and he said he heard, felt like God said, if you don't straighten up and serve me, I'm going to kill you. And so the doctor said, we can't find out what's wrong with you. He said, well, just let me out of here. I know what's wrong with me. And they moved to Midland, Texas, packed up everything they had, moved to Midland, Texas, and got in church, and I don't know, got prayed back through. Did you have the Holy Ghost before that, didn't you? Yeah, but he got prayed back through. And anyway, then they moved with us from Midland to Springfield, Missouri, and then they made the move down here.